Who's excited to be in the house of the God? Amen. Let's worship together. God, we just ask your mighty presence to be here. We need you every moment of our lives. Lead us in every aspect of our lives. Come on, let's sing it out. Who am I? Who am I that the highest King will welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for... Come on, you sing it out. Whom the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed.
I'm a child.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Free at last. Here we go.
Free at last. He has ransomed me. Oh, his grace runs deep. Oh, while I was a slave to sin, Jesus died.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he died for
whom the Son?
Whom the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed.
I'm a what?
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am.
Whom the Son?
The Son set free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house.
That's the promise.
There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Have your way. Have your way. Oh, yeah. Would you take your place on your throne? We adore you. We adore you. Have your way, oh, would you lead us every part of our lives? Sing it out.
I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who
one more
you
time.
Say I am
chosen. Here we go.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am who you say I am.
Whom the Son?
Whom
Turn seas
Would you take your place on the throne? Have your way, have your way. There's nothing we can do, nothing, nothing. Oh, but Father, we need you. We need you. Your presence is enough. Your presence, presence, presence. Come on, sing like this. And I surrender all. And I surrender all. You know this? Let's sing it out. And all to thee, my blessed. And I surrender. And I surrender. And I. Church. You know, Bible talks about, Bible has 8,810 promises recorded. And 7,747 are for the humans, for us. All we need to do is grab hold of one and speak over your life. And I believe that God, who did miracles, signs, and wonders back then, is an alive God who can do it right now. If you believe, come on, give a shout of praise to our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. among the saints. My gaze transfixed on him, on Jesus. Would you lift his name in this place? Begin to sing your own song. Whoa!
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
for you are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy, 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 worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Amen. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him adoration. For He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, who is with us. Amen. 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 Quickly say hi to the people next to you, and then turn your eyes towards the screen. Amen.
Hey everyone, we are so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit hdchurch.com.
If you'd like to give, you can visit us at hdchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use the Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an amazing week. Bye.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. Great to see you in the Lord's house today. How many of you know the Lord is in our midst? Amen. Amen. Our worship team, didn't they do a great job leading us to the Lord in worship today? And it's so good to have our friend Pastor Samson and Gabby Koshy with us this morning. In just a few moments, the ushers are coming to wait on us for our giving. We want to say thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord has entrusted to you during the past week. And we also appreciate all of your giving towards our building fund, as well as your gifts for the work of missions. Do you know that Harvest Time supports about 60 missionaries right now? Praise God, supporting the work of the kingdom all over the world. And that's due to your generosity and your support of those that we send out. The Lord encourages us to give in His word. Do you know the Apostle Paul commended the believers in Macedonia because he said they gave joyfully according to their ability and even beyond. And Paul said that just as we abound in our faith and our love, in just that same way, we should also seek to excel, abound in the grace of giving. Your program has an envelope that you can use to give today, and you can give a few different ways. You can give by a check made to Harvest Time Church. You can also give by debit card or by credit card. And if you're giving that way, please remember to provide us with the 3-digit code on the back of the card, security code that will help out our bookkeeper. If you're giving cash and you'd like to receive credit for your giving, please make sure, of course, that we have all of your information. Giving online is very easy to do, and it's also simple and secure. You can give anytime through our Realm app, or you can give through our website at hdchurch.com. When you give through the website, there's a giving link there on the top of the homepage, and you can use that link to make a one-time gift, or you can set up regular automatic giving, and lots of people are choosing to give that way these days. You can also give by text, and you can take a look at the screens to see how you can give that way. If you have little ones with you this morning and you're concerned that they may not be able to sit successfully through the service, we do have great nursery care for your infants and for your toddlers in this service and in all of our services. A couple of things for you very quickly before the ushers come to wait on us. I want to remind you that during the month of July, we're going to be here together on Wednesday evenings. The adults, we're going to be meeting here in the sanctuary this Wednesday for another night of worship at 7 o'clock. Harvest Time Youth will be meeting for our students and grades 6 through 12, and our kids are enjoying a summer fun program. All children ages 5 through the 5th grade are invited to the sports program that we're having on Wednesday evenings this month. This coming Wednesday, our friend Alan Houston's going to be here with our kids, and then at the end of the evening, we're all going to enjoy some refreshments, some ice cream out in the patio, so we hope that you'll join us for a great night. Don't forget also, on the last Wednesday of this month, we're going to be having a water baptism service as part of our worship that evening. If you have not been baptized in water since coming to faith in Jesus, this is your opportunity. We would love to encourage you to come sign up to a brief baptism class that we're having on the preceding Sunday. So on Sunday the 24th, there's going to be a baptism class here at the church at 10 o'clock in the morning. You can use the QR code in your program to sign up for the baptism class and come on out and celebrate as we take that step of faith in baptism on Wednesday the 27th. Going to invite the ushers to come and wait on us for our giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask Him to bless us and to bless our giving. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the beautiful name of Jesus, your Son. We thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches in Christ. Lord, your word says that you open your hand, Lord, and with your faithfulness, you meet the needs of every living creature that you've made. So, Father, we're coming to you now with grateful hearts. We return to you the tithe, and we bring as well our gifts for the work of missions and our gifts for our building fund. Father, we pray that you would bless and multiply what we're sowing into your kingdom today, God. Father, would you bless your faithful people in the week ahead, Lord? Open the windows of heaven over your church in this coming week. God, we ask that we might experience your favor and your loving kindness as we live for you. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you as you give this morning. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. This time of year, I like to say, welcome to Harvest Time Church and Sun Tanning Parlor. So, Freddie and Joanne, what are you doing on the sunny side? You moved into the sun. Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're in the sun. And this time of year, we have a lot of light coming through the skylight. And so if anybody in that section, if at any point the sun's in your face, if you're a little uncomfortable, please feel welcome to just adjust your seat one direction or the other to get a little bit comfortable. Want to welcome everybody worshiping with us online this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us today. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with us to the letter of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about first pray. While you're finding your way to 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to ask our friends, Pastor Samson and Gabrielle Koshy, if they would just come join us real quickly. Would you just welcome them this morning? Some of you who were with us last year might remember Samson came a couple of times last year with the Faith Bible College trio graduated Samson and Gabby from Faith Bible College last year in the class of 2021. After they graduated, they got married. They're newlyweds. So, you know, the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor from the Lord. And you not only found a good wife, but you found a wife who's a good singer, yep. Pastor Samson. They are doing a summer internship right now in Ocean City, Maryland, which ends at the summer, and they're just praying about the Lord's next step for them, looking for an opportunity to be worship pastors, and so we've invited them to just come and spend this weekend with us. And then they do just a beautiful job leading us today. I want to ask, Samson and Gabby are both pastors' kids. They both grew up in pastors' homes, Samson in India and Gabby in Maine. But I just want to ask Samson to just bring a brief greeting, just a welcome to everybody. He's looking at me like we didn't do that in the last service. So,
well, it's so good to be here. And you guys have been blessing to us and especially to our school. And we don't take it lightly. And thank you for supporting us in prayers and in everything. And thank you for having us here and just allowed to lead you guys in the presence of the Lord. And we don't take it lightly as well. And thank you for your prayers. And thank you, Pastor, for having us. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Samson. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Samson and Gabby don't know it, but they're going to be downstairs with coffee and donuts after the service. And if you'd like to go downstairs and meet them immediately following the service, you'll have an opportunity just to say hi to them. While you just find your way to 1 Timothy chapter 2, Wednesday evening, Wednesday worship night, a very special friend of Pastor Denise and myself, our friend Mary Bard is going to be here with the Liberty Worship Team leading worship this Wednesday evening, and you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great night. Mary has such an amazing anointing for worship. We studied in Bible college together, and Mary was just used powerfully of the Lord, and she sang her voice out. She damaged her vocal cords while we were in school, and doctor told her that she would never sing again, and the Lord supernaturally healed her vocal cords. And Joanne, I don't want to tell you how many years ago that was, but she's been singing ever since, and so it'll be a great night together. We hope you'll join us at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. All right, first pray. Look with me, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And starting in verse 1, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, St. Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Amen. First, pray. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, one of the best-selling books in the English language of all time. And I love John Bunyan's famous quote on prayer. He said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan." That's a really good quote. I wish I had come up with it. Can I tell you that that is precisely the fatherly advice that St. Paul gives to his spiritual son, Timothy, in the second chapter of this letter? Timothy, first pray. Looking at Paul's words, I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning about the power of prayer. First pray. A few thoughts about the power of prayer. On your way in, you received a program, and in your program is an outline of today's sermon. If you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along
If you'd like an outline at home, there is a link to a PDF file in the chat section of the live stream. You can just click on that and have an outline of today's sermon. First, pray. A few thoughts about the power of prayer. Let's start with this. Prayer helps us self-correct when we're spiritually drifting. Prayer helps us self-correct when we're spiritually drifting. In the opening lines of this letter, we learn that Paul assigned to young Timothy a very challenging mission in the city of Ephesus. Trouble was brewing in the Ephesian church that Paul had founded. Some of the leaders of home Bible study groups had started drifting away. Paul says that they wandered away from a clean conscience. They were behaving in ways that violated their Christian consciences, and so their teaching started to drift away from the basic truths of Christianity. May I tell you that one always follows the other. When Christian believers repeatedly ignore the nudge of the Holy Spirit in their consciences, they begin to drift away from the truth. The more that they violate their conscience, the more faint the Spirit's voice becomes in their ears. Rather than coming about and bringing their behavior into alignment with the Word of God, they change their beliefs to accommodate their sinful behavior. It's the original deception straight from the garden. Did God really say, nah, he couldn't have meant that? In chapter 1 of this letter, Paul says that drifting away eventually becomes deliberately sailing away. And the outcome is spiritual shipwreck, a loss of faith in Jesus. Timothy's assignment in Ephesus was to confront these leaders and to tell them to cease and desist. His assignment was to help the Ephesian church make a course correction. And Paul says, Timothy, the place you must begin is with prayer. Timothy, my son, I urge you, first and foremost, pray. Timothy, make prayer your first priority before you do anything else, before you open your mouth and say anything to anyone, before you take on this task, before you tackle this new challenge, before you start to troubleshoot and problem solve, before you start to manage risk and minimize damage, before you deal with difficult people, first pray. May I tell you that that's advice that we all need every day? One day a man lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, Lord, so far I've done all right today. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish. I haven't been overindulgent. I haven't gossiped. I haven't exaggerated. And I'm really glad about that. But in a moment, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need your help. Timothy, I urge you, first pray. Before your feet even hit the floor, pray. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you have prayed. Something we learn from the ministry of St. Paul is that prayer is the key to effective spiritual correction. Paul's robust life of continual intercession for his churches is what gave him the spiritual authority to confront drifting believers and the grace to help them successfully correct their course. My home pastor and father in the Lord was English, and with his British accent, he could get away with saying absolutely anything. If you don't know, there's no one with a gift for being direct like the British. But people would respond positively. Where's my friend Brad Apelgren, who led us through our building project here? Brad has the most delightful South African accent, and he has that gift for delivering very bad news in a way that makes it sound good. I wish I had your accent, dear Brad. But if you don't have a British accent, then you better get yourself a prayer life so that you can be effective in helping people make spiritual corrections. How could Paul get away with writing to the Christians in Galatia, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You started out so good. Now look at you, you're a mess." How could a stiff letter like that written from afar possibly work? It's only because Paul first prayed. Paul publicly called out two fighting sisters in Philippi, "Quit your quarreling already." To some believers in Thessalonica, he wrote, "Stop being lazy busybodies, fluttering from house to house and eating everyone's food, and go get a job." It's true. How could he get away with writing to the Christians in Corinth, "I cannot address you as spiritual, but as worldly infants in Christ"? As my dinner party kids like to say, shots fired. And the following instructions, "I have no praise for you, Corinthians, because your gatherings do more harm than good. What do you prefer, that I come to you in gentle love or with a baseball bat?" Who says things like that to church folks and it works? Only someone who first prays. I've spent my entire life in the embrace of the church, and it's been a blessing, truly it has. I have no regrets whatsoever for investing 100% of my life in Jesus and his church. But I think one of the most unhelpful things I've witnessed is when believers offer spiritual correction without first making intercession. Beloved, it never works. It's not effective. It doesn't help anyone. If you don't have a robust prayer life, zip your lip. But if we'll only pray first, we can help people correct their course, possibly without the need to say anything at all. And wouldn't that be wonderful? First, pray. A few thoughts about the power of prayer. Prayer helps us self-correct. Another thought, prayer helps us to overcome the drift towards spiritual indifference. Prayer helps us overcome the drift toward spiritual indifference. Theodore Weddle told the parable of the life-saving station. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, stood a life-saving station. The building was just a little hut, and there was only one rescue boat. But a few devoted volunteers kept constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for their own safety, would go out day and night to search for and rescue those lost in the sea. Many of the rescued people and many of the neighbors from the community wished to become associated with the station. They gave their time and money and effort to support its work. They bought new boats. They hired new crews. They made the life-saving station grow. In time, some members became concerned that the station was so crudely constructed and poorly equipped. They thought that there should be a more commodious place to receive traumatized survivors from the sea. So they enlarged the building. Cots were replaced with comfy beds. New furniture was purchased. The station became a gathering place for its auxiliary members, and they decorated it beautifully. Fewer members were now interested in leaving the plush station to go out on life-saving missions. So they hired surrogates to do that work. However, they retained the life-saving motif in the club's decor, and a symbolic lifeboat sat in the room where they gathered for their parties and meetings. One dark, stormy night, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of shivering, half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, speaking a foreign language. The station was in complete chaos. The event was so disruptive that the club members commissioned separate barracks away from the main building so that future rescued survivors could be received without interfering with the club operations. Eventually, a rift developed in the station. Most of the members wanted to shut down the rescue work as it was dangerous and inconvenient, but a small minority insisted that rescue was still their primary purpose, and after all, they were still called a life-saving station. The majority ignored the pleas of the minority and said that if they wanted to keep on with their life-saving work, they should go and open their own life-saving station a little further down the coast, which is exactly what they did. But over time, the splinter group fell prey to the same temptations as the first group, coming to care more about comforting one another than rescuing the perishing. After a while, a few of them remembered their real purpose and they split off to establish yet another life-saving station, and on it went. Today, if you visit that seacoast, you will find a number of impressive life-saving stations dotting the shoreline. Sadly, shipwrecks still occur in those waters, but few people are ever saved. And all God's people said, ouch. Indifference was a problem in the Ephesian church, and it's still a problem in the church today. God has called us to be a life-saving station in his world, not a country club. The antidote to spiritual indifference is prayer. Paul says we should pray for all people. Here's why. Because there's only one true God of all people, and he wants all people to be saved. There's only one God who can save, and there's no one he doesn't want to be saved. God wants all people, including those whom we don't think he should want. Paul himself was a testament to that. A violent man who executed people in the name of God, and yet God showed him mercy. And there's only one mediator between God and people, the unique God-man, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is in a unique position to broker peace between God and mankind. He's in a unique position to represent both sides because he is both God and man. Jesus made reconciliation by giving his life on the cross as a ransom price to secure the spiritual freedom of all people. And starting with Paul and the apostles, the church has been sent to carry this good news to all people. Only once in the history of humanity did God become a man and give his life as a ransom price to save us. No other so-called prophet, no other spiritual leader, no other angel or spirit or God or idol worship by any other name can make that claim. Only Jesus. Beloved, listen to me. Idol worshipers are not okay. Their idols cannot save them. Those who worship spirits are not okay. The spirits cannot save them. In fact, the idols and the spirits are mean. They're ugly. Atheists and agnostics who worship at the altar of secularism are not okay. Human society cannot save them. Pray for all people because the one true God wants to save all people. And the mediator, Jesus Christ, has given himself as a ransom payment for all people. And the church has been sent to tell this news to all people. Theologians wrestle. By the way, I'm preaching a little better than you're listening right now. I'm just saying. Theologians wrestle over the meaning of all people. At the very least, we can agree on this. God wants us to reach many more people with the gospel than we have so far. We've reached some, but God wants us to reach more. I'm not really sure practically how to pray for all people, but maybe a place to begin is by praying for the people around us right now. The people in our own family, in our own circle of friends, in our neighborhood, at school, for the people at work, even your boss, the devil. God wants to save him or her. First, pray. A few thoughts about the power of prayer. Prayer helps us self-correct. Prayer helps us overcome indifference. Here's another thought. Prayer helps us to resist the urge to withdraw from the public square and the political arena. Prayer helps us to resist the urge to withdraw. It's going to get hot now. Paul gives a remarkable prayer instruction to young Timothy. Pray for kings and all those in authority. Pray for presidents and vice presidents, whether you voted for them or not. Pray for senators. That's good preaching. If you don't think so, you need to hear it. Pray for senators and congresspeople. Pray for Supreme Court justices and attorney generals. Pray for governors and lieutenant governors, state's attorney generals, legislators, courts. Pray for law enforcement officers. Pray for local mayors. Pray for school boards. What's incredible about this command is at that time in the world, in the first century, in the mid-first century, there had never yet been any Christian government official. The emperor was the notorious madman Nero, whom eventually executed Paul. The government officials were greedy and corrupt, self-serving, grossly immoral. They scratched and clawed their way to the top over a pile of dead bodies. Thankfully, we don't have any politicians like that in America. Jesus warned us about that. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over their people and their high officials abuse their authority. Jesus said, you can expect it. It's going to happen. But St. Paul said, these are the ones that I want you to pray for, even the bad apples, because God can still use bad apples to accomplish his good purposes in the world. Can I tell you that each new generation of believers has to fight the urge to withdraw from society? The pressure of opposition and persecution, even just the grievous nature of sin in our culture, it makes us want to withdraw. It makes us just want to seclude ourselves, to pull away. In the second and third centuries, the desert fathers withdrew to caves and spent their lives praying and studying the scriptures. How nice would that be to just withdraw into your man cave and pray and study the scriptures? Oh. In the Middle Ages, the monastics cloistered themselves away from society. In the 17th and 18th centuries, the heavily persecuted Anabaptists withdrew from public life. The Mennonites and the Amish still follow that tradition today. I grew up in Pennsylvania with Mennonites and Amish all around us. They live in communities and they speak a language and they follow a culture that's inaccessible to 99.9% of the world. I don't mean any disrespect to our beloved Mennonite and Amish friends, but can I tell you that's not what God ever wanted for his church? God wants us to be engaged in society. Jesus said, let your light so shine before all men. And the way that we do that is to first pray. Beloved, can I tell you that prayer is the most effective tool for social and political activism that we have as believers? Real prayer, a sustained campaign of intercession where God's people bombard heaven with repeated petitions for righteous change in our society. Listen to me, Christian activism without intercession is unproductive, but when Christians first pray, they change history. I didn't realize it till just very recently, but the fall of the Berlin Wall, there was a prayer meeting in a church in East Berlin that went on for decades that the communist regime tried to shut down. And there were believers that gathered and prayed and prayed and prayed for freedom and for the fall of the wall. And the night the wall fell, that gathering swelled to 2,000 people in that church praying. And they went out into the streets and the wall fell down. So, you know, I'm glad Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down your wall. But it was saints praying on both sides of that wall that brought that wall down. The Supreme Court's overturn of Roe versus Wade is a result of 50 years of sustained intercession. especially in the last about 15 years, there was a group of young Christian adults, young men and young women in their early and mid-20s who went to Washington, D.C., and they carried on a sustained effort of prayer and fasting. It was God who orchestrated at the 11th hour for Justice Amy Coney Barrett to come to the bench. Beloved, listen, this is not a red and a blue issue. This is a moral issue. Listen to me. Prayer is far more powerful than the political activism of those with an anti-God agenda. In fact, God's specialty in history is to allow unrighteous people to expend all their energy and their resources trying to manipulate the outcomes, and then God, in his time, sovereignly overrides it all. He sets up one king and he takes down another. Jesus said to Pilate, "You wouldn't have any authority over me except the authority that my Father gave you." And this is our prayer focus, Paul says, for those in authority, that God will use them to create a peaceful, moral, secure environment that's ideal for the spread of the gospel. The hallmark of the enemy's kingdom is chaos. He suppresses and he controls people through chaos. For the last 70 years, a Marxist agenda has been at work in the United States. It began in the elite institutions of higher education, the Ivy League schools that were originally founded as Christian seminaries for the spread of the gospel. The Marxist agenda has spread to our government, to our media, to our entertainment, to our schools, even to sports. The basic strategy is to create unrest everywhere it can. Social unrest, civil unrest, class warfare, racial tensions, out-of-control crime, economic unrest, skyrocketing inflation and the supply chain crisis and spiraling oil prices are all fabricated by design. When people become discontent enough, they will exchange their personal freedoms, trade them in for a promise of peace and security, even though it be a false promise. The hallmark of God's kingdom, on the other hand, is peaceful order, tranquility, civility, security, morality, decency, equality, equal opportunity, and plenty. Listen, it is possible for God to use even thoroughly secular government officials to create an environment of peaceful order so that the ministry of the gospel can thrive. God used Abimelech to protect Abraham and then his son Isaac. God used the Pharaoh of Egypt to protect and provide for Jacob's family. God used the Philistine king to protect young David. God used Babylonian kings to protect and promote Daniel so that the Jewish faith could be perpetuated in the Babylonian Empire. He used Persian kings to provide the money to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and then to re-educate the Jewish people in their own faith. God used Persian kings to thwart a genocide campaign against the Jewish people. God sent his son into the world during a period of history called the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. Ironically, it was the global domination of Rome that made possible the global spread of Christianity in a way that would not have been possible previously in human history. God used Roman officials to rescue Paul from rioting mobs in Philippi and in Ephesus and in Corinth. God used Roman officials to save Paul's life three times in Jerusalem. God used Roman civil rights to rescue Paul from the clutches of a corrupt governor in Israel that was keeping Paul in prison for 2.5 years, hoping to get a bribe. In modern times, God has used the freedoms provided by the American government to create an environment that has enabled the gospel to go around the whole world. Beloved, with the midterm elections coming, we need to earnestly combat the Marxist agenda in prayer. Shouldn't overlook the significance of the overturn of Roe versus Wade. God is on the move. And here's what we need to pray. God, change seats and change hearts. Change seats and change hearts. Lord, let those of ill will be unseated, and let those of noble character be seated. And God, change hearts. How many of you know that God can send divine visitation to unbelieving rulers? He visited Pharaoh. He visited Nebuchadnezzar. He visited Darius, Cyrus. How many of you know God can, in a night vision, in an angelic visitation, in a dream, he spoke to Pilate's wife. God can visit our leaders. And he can put godly advisors right next to them. God put Joseph in the ear of Pharaoh. He put Daniel in the ear of Nebuchadnezzar. He put Esther in the ear of Xerxes. He put a little servant girl in the ear of Naaman, the Syrian general. God can assign people to places, whether they're servants or whether they're official advisors. He can put his people right next to those who are rulers to influence their decisions and their outcomes. This is how we need to pray. God, however you do it, whomever it needs to be, only you know. God, put people in seats and change hearts in seats so that there will be tranquility and civility and moral decency and security and equal opportunity and plenty in America for the sake of the gospel mission around the world. Beloved, I want to tell you that the eyes of all the world look to America. And I know for some of my friends, my wife is she was a Canadian. I know for some of my friends who are not American, I know that sounds a little high and mighty. But I want to say that the eyes of the whole world look on America, and people in developing nations, believers in developing nations, pray for the stability of our country for the sake of the work of the gospel in their country. And that's true. All right, well, this might be my last sermon at harvest time, but I'm going to make it a good one. First, pray. A few thoughts about the power of prayer. Prayer helps us self-correct. Prayer helps us overcome indifference. Prayer helps us to resist the urge to withdraw. Here's another thought. Almost done. This is going to be quick. Prayer keeps our relationship with God fresh and makes us effective in our culture. The fruit of prayer is that it changes us inside. It changes our personal lives so that we become marked with reverence and respectability that the world takes note of. Those two words, godliness and holiness, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, are translated different ways. I like the translation reverence and respectability. When others look at us, they see something admirable. They see something desirable. They see something worth having, worth pursuing. While the world is riddled with anxiety, we're secure and at peace. While the world is full of rage monsters, we're easygoing and not easily provoked. Man's anger never brings about the righteousness God desires. While the world is profane and nasty, we're wholesome. While the world wallows in self-pity and vindictive victimhood, we're grateful overcomers in Christ. While the world lacks self-control, we're centered in Jesus. While the world lacks significance, we're certain of our purpose and sure of our final destination. Listen, flashing lights and smoke machines, they're swell and all, but they will never, ever make the church relevant. What makes the church relevant is the ministry of prayer. First, pray. Few thoughts about the power of prayer. Let's finish with this thought. Finish with this. How should we pray? How should we pray? In telling Timothy to first pray, Paul uses three words that are essentially synonymous: petitions, prayers, and intercession. Each word means the same thing. It means to make a request of God. Rather than trying to parse the meaning of each individual word, I think Paul just piled up words to make this point. Pray, 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 and then pray some more. It's like when Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. It means pray, pray, pray until heaven answers you. But Paul does add this one instruction, make petitions, prayers, and intercession with thanksgiving. To whom are we giving thanks? For what are we giving thanks? It doesn't mean to give thanks for all people. It doesn't mean to give thanks for kings and people in authority. We give thanks to God for previously answered prayers. We give thanks to God for keeping his promises, for coming through on our behalf, for rescuing us, for helping us, for repeated demonstrations of his enduring love and faithfulness. So this is how we should first pray. We give thanks to God for answered prayer, and then we make a new petition, and we give thanks some more, and then we ask again, and then we give thanks some more, and then we ask again. Pray, 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 lather, rinse, repeat, rather, lather, rinse, repeat, until heaven answers you. Let me close with this, and we're done. This last Wednesday, we closed on a refinance of our mortgage. This is something that I have been working on for 4 years. When we finished our new sanctuary back in 2018, the going interest rates were about 3.5%. We borrowed money at 6% because it's a commercial loan and because of the risk associated with a big church sanctuary. During COVID, we were able to modify our loan down to 5%. Interest rates are rising now, in fact, getting almost to 6%. And on Wednesday, we refinanced our mortgage at 3.5%. That lowers our monthly interest payment by $12,000 a month. That's a lot of money, y'all. That will save Harvest Time $4 million in interest over the life of our loan. But I believe God's going to help us pay off our building long before that note matures. Listen, I know that interest rates are really not the most exciting thing to a lot of people, but I want to tell you, to me, it is a huge deal. It affects our ability to take care of our staff and to bring on new staff. Over this whole time, the way I've been praying is to give thanks to God for what he's done so far and then make my requests. See, because every time he's helped me in the past gives me faith to believe that he's going to help me again. So this is how I prayed. God, thank you for supernaturally leading us to this piece of property in 1997 through a letter. Now we ask you for favor with this new lender. Thank you for helping us to secure zoning approval to build a church on this property when 22 other proposed projects were shot down by the Greenwich Planning and Zoning Board over a period of 30 years. Now we ask you for a rate that's lower than the market rate. Thank you for opening a narrow zoning window in 2008 for us to double the size of this building and increase the sanctuary to 1,000 seats. Now we ask you for a commitment letter from our lender. On Thursday morning, my prayer changed. We closed on Wednesday. On Thursday morning, my prayer changed. So this is how I'm praying now. God, thank you for helping us with this refinance. Now help us just pay off the whole thing. And listen, somebody, this is the word for somebody. Listen to me this week. Use that strategy yourself. Give thanks and pray. Give thanks again and pray again. Give thanks again and pray again. Pray, pray, pray until heaven answers you. Timothy, my son, I urge you, first pray. Now you know just a little bit about the power of prayer. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Would you give him a great big praise in this place today? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all praise. Lift up your faces. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Come on, lift up your voices. Let's worship Him.
Nothing, nothing, oh, there's nothing better than you, oh, there's nothing
better than you, oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
You turn grace into garden,
you turn bones into armies, you turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can.
You turn
graves into gardens, you turn bones into armies,
you turn seas into highways.
You're the
sing together.
Oh, there's nothing better than you.
There's nothing, nothing
better than you.
Oh, there's nothing.
Nothing is better than you.
Oh, we've tasted and seen.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place, would you? Thank you, O Lord. I'm gonna pray for you in just one moment. But just before we do that, I just really feel led by the Holy Spirit to make this opportunity. Beloved, can I tell you, this is a life-saving station. There's one God who wants all people to be saved, and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for our freedom. The way that we respond to the message of Jesus is by praying a prayer of believing on Him. I wonder if there's someone here today and you've never prayed a prayer of believing on Jesus. Or maybe you prayed a prayer of believing on Him a long time ago and a lot of water's gone under the bridge since then and it's time to pray it again. Would you bow your heads with me for just one moment? And I'm just going to invite you, if you'd like to join me in responding to the message of Jesus by praying a prayer of believing, I'm just going to ask you to follow me in a prayer right where you are, right there in your seat. If you'd like to pray a prayer of believing on Jesus for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time, while heads are bowed, would you just lift your hand real high where I can see it this morning? Thank you. There's hands all over. Like to join us in praying a prayer of believing on Jesus. There's hands everywhere across the sanctuary. Someone else for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. If you lift your hands, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. I'm going to lead, and I want to invite, if you're willing, I'm going to invite everybody to follow in a nice, clear voice. There's one God who wants all people to be saved, and one mediator, Jesus, His Son, who gave himself as a ransom. Let's just put our faith in Christ and believe on him. Would you lift up your hands, everyone, if you're willing, and would you join us as we pray this prayer together? Let's pray. I'll lead you, follow. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for living a perfect life for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, Thank you for making peace. Thank you for making me a new person. Wash me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a good praise in this place today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we have a prayer room. It's across the foyer in that direction. Just take a couple steps in that direction, and we'd love to greet you after the service, celebrate with you. We just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you and give you some things before you go home and make your way and begin your new week. Put your hand over your heart if you're willing, if you're willing. Father, I just pray that this word would be good seed and good soil. Lord, I pray that we would remember, Lord, on Monday and Tuesday to first pray, on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday to first pray, Lord, to turn our face to heaven, Lord, to call out to you, Lord, to give thanks and to pray. Lord, I pray for everyone who's just facing a challenge right now, who has a challenging assignment, Lord, who has a difficult task ahead of them. Lord, for every person that is wrestling with difficult people, Lord, I pray that if we first pray, Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom and grace from the Holy Spirit to be more than overcomers. Father, watch over your people this week. Lord, I pray that you'd surround us with divine protection. Lord, keep us in good health, Lord. Father, keep us at peace in our minds and in our spirits and in our physical body. Lord, I pray that you would bless everything we touch. Let it prosper, Lord, and bring a good result. Bless our relationships, Lord. Father, be with us until we come together again rejoicing. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Sing one more time and have a great week in Jesus.
You turn grace into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one. Turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Sing all the will shout your praise. My heart will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Sing it.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great.
Come on, sing over your life.
You,
all the earth,
Lord.
One more time.
Singing all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts.
hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord.
One more time, we'll sing it out.
All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are
time. It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out a praise. We pour out a praise.
Great are you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, great are you. Your name, have your way, Jesus. Oh, your presence is here. Your presence is here. What a great gift you have given us to pray and talk to you, to build relationship with you through the language that you have given us to talk to you, Abba Father. You are great. Come on, sing it out. Whoa. Great are you, Lord. Yeah. Great are you, Lord. One last time, please sing it out. Oh, great are you, Lord. Yeah. Come on. Give him praise. Give him praise. All glory and honor belongs to him. All glory and honor. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Church, God bless you. God bless you. God has plans for you. Be blessed, don't settle for less. Amen.